Lord Jesus, help us to take firm hold of your hand and follow you, even through the brambles and briars of men's objections. We are too little. We need your grasp with your loving hand to lead us. Amen. Well, my time of worship for the past few days has been so very sweet and peaceful and charming, as the Lord of my life danced with me every morning, holding me tightly and securely in his assurance of love. To be honest with you, I couldn't see beyond his shoulders for the most part. Once in a while, I would get glimpses of us on a dance floor. But I couldn't see beyond his shoulders and his beard and his eyes because I was so riveted on being tightly clasped in his arms, just for the sense of security that that offers. I just clung to him with all my might. I've been so hungry for you, Jesus. I've needed your strength, your wisdom, your encouragement, and the graces to pray faithfully for the deep state and the corrupt world leaders. It has been such a struggle, not knowing when we will finally see justice. I pulled a Rhema card, put your trust in me. So Jesus, I trust in you, and you said you wanted to speak to us every day. So here I am. They have so many objections to my last message. Please lead me through this. Jesus began, has anyone ever wondered what my church would look like if Rome hadn't gotten involved? Well, isn't that the case with the Orthodox, Lord? Rome didn't get involved there. Claire, in every instance, politics co-opted the church. When men see a good, authentic thing, it's their nature to grasp for control, to make it bigger and better. In short, to make an institution out of it. I never intended that. I always intended that small groups would minister with those who lived nearby. Yes, there was need for organization and keeping the teachings true. But men always bring their baggage and self-importance into the equation, because there is an innate desire to control and protect. This is why it's necessary for me to come to earth again and dwell with my people. They will never get it right without me. Yes, there must be overseers, bishops, but not living in opulence which breeds greed, rivalries, distraction, and unbelief. Rather, they are to be men and women of humble stature, buildings of a common nature, not palaces and pretense. Never palaces and pretense. What happened to my church? It was tragic, but bound to happen. The one good thing it did do was bring consistency, but without my influence, it also brought money, position, and fame. And that entered in and took control. It will take a great deal of studied care to resurrect what I have given, plus the action of the Holy Spirit through the ages to restore the structure with total fidelity to my wishes. Evangelical poverty and simplicity are the absolute building blocks for the ministers of my church and her restoration. Subtract the royalty and the wealthy forms, the ceremonies and rubrics of state from the church, and you're back in Jerusalem during the first century. Simplicity exemplified. This is me, by the way. He always knows when I'm doubting. Is this the voice of the Lord? I've got to double check this. When you build extravagant buildings, he continued, luxurious trimmings, you invite in those whose lives are focused on such things, as well as stealing the widow's mite. When you keep everything little and humble, you invite in those who are more focused on me and my sheep. Why do you think I am so strict with you? Why do you think your house is so little, your clothing so few and poor? This is the example I want for all my shepherds. I want nothing of the world represented in my church. When the faith went to Rome, the political ways of state began to overpower the simplicity of my apostles. Women were rejected in ministry, and homosexuality was rife. It was? That's right. You heard me. Rife. It was tied into political power, as those wishing to remain in positions of power in the courts of the rulers gave a superficial show of conversion, but continued in their dark practices. They didn't want to lose their positions, so they feigned becoming Christians. And what about Jerusalem, Lord? What happened there? The church had flourished, going from home to home, breaking bread, singing psalms, caring for the poor, continuing in teachings as the books of the New Testament were being written. When persecution arose, only the deeply devout and faithful remained. The sacred mysteries were kept from defilement, and every day the apostles grew in the depth of understanding of what I had left behind for them to be strengthened. My mother was a great consolation to them as she continued to share what I had imparted to her as I grew into manhood and the stories as I grew up. Well, what do you mean, Lord? She knew I was the Messiah and not anything like what the religious people of the day were expecting. She knew I would be persecuted and put to death, Claire. Not only Simeon's words to her, but the knowledge of the sacred writings imparted to her in her youth at the temple was the bedrock foundation upon which she understood all these things to come, and that they would truly come to pass just as they were written. She was exceptional from a very early age, and my words went deep into her little soul, indelibly imprinted. These are great mysteries that very few understand. She was not just a woman like all others. She had been chosen from birth to bring me into the world. And one of the preparations that accompanied her into this world was the privilege of unstained blood. In other words, by divine grace, she was granted the sacrament of baptism when she was conceived. It had to be so, or I could not have grown in her womb with the stain of sin in her body. Remember, she had Rahab the harlot in her ancestry, and it is beyond the realm of everyday understanding to know what kind of woman was necessary in order for me to inhabit her body and draw nourishment from it. The preparations were elaborate and lifelong. It was not enough that she was granted these special privileges. She had to be faithful to them her entire life. An acute awareness of sin guided her actions as she spent her entire childhood focused on the glory and purity of God. This too was a miraculous grace. She had none of the impulses to sin that come with the Adam nature. Blood is very, very powerful, Claire. Your science has not even begun to understand its significance. The stain from sins down through the centuries had to be removed by an act of grace for her to carry me in the womb. And along with that came a painless childbirth, an event so sublime that even the angels were awestruck. Oh, so many things you, my people, do not know. So many things you assume and presume. but someday all will be revealed and made right in your minds. So you see, her beginnings were much different than even the best Hollywood portrayals. Volumes and volumes could be written about her childhood and the maternity in preparation for my incarnation and my early years as I was growing up. But returning to the way my church was before it was handed over to the Romans, everything was guided by my hand and the Holy Spirit as the apostles administered the church. Things were done simply, without pompous ceremonies. And in that respect, Hollywood got it right in portraying the Last Supper. We did sit on the floor on mats. The room was spacious, but without any hint of luxury. Claire, this is what I want my church to return to. Not sitting on the floor, but utter simplicity. And if sitting on the floor is the custom in a certain region, then that's perfectly acceptable to me. What I do not want is any hint of privilege or ostentatiousness. Well, Lord, how can we prepare for the harvest of souls that will come from the church? Firstly, I would like to make it clear to all that this church is my church from its inception. I did not introduce politics, power, and money to my church. That was man's invention and Satan's premeditated plan. He knew that power and prestige would sweep through the church and transform it into a worldly institution, making room for every kind of evil. I chose the apostles who would be the foundation. I introduced the helps or sacraments that would give strength to mankind to overcome sin. And it was my Holy Spirit that descended into the upper room on Pentecost. That was the empowerment from on high that launched the way, or my church, which went by many names. It was my church that went to Rome and became entangled in the ways of men, which I am undoing now, never, ever to be brought to life again. My church is not in the halls of the great. It is in the hearts of a little who have received me and live for me. These are my living stones, and they shall once again be the structure of my church. And as I promised, the gates of hell have not prevailed against these. My precious heart dwellers, you must grasp and hold dear all the things that are of God and reject all the things that are of men. Very few of you, including Claire, understand how great and far-reaching is the action of my spirit and those who have lived before, and how they have contributed to the spiritual edifice and the working out of the faith I taught. Most of you are in the dark because you've been kept in the dark. Religiosity and religious spirits have formed most misinformed minds. Departures from the truth by many men seeking to start their own church have introduced error and misinformation into the churches they began. This has made most, if not all, of the Christian faiths seriously lacking in the foundation I laid down in Jerusalem. And many of you are little misfits that have bounced around, sick of hypocrisy and rejection, confused, tormented, and under-equipped to live in this age of Satan, these end times. I would like to restore this to you, but I see that many come to this channel to teach and correct. You are correcting others with error, and you yourself have not the entire truth. Neither does Claire. But I would like to use this channel to straighten out some crippling misunderstandings about how I established my church and what I imparted to the apostles, and what Holy Spirit has continued in the living stones of my church. But you will not learn anything if you are set on correcting and directing people on this channel. In fact, you will leave embittered that you were not received as the anointed teacher. I would love to open your heart and mind to my truths, but they are slammed shut with the opinions of men. You will not find peace and understanding here unless you know my voice, not the voice of your parents, your pastors, or great theologians, but my voice. You are welcome to stay and learn, but you are not welcome to come and teach. There are those on this channel that have hearts of pure gold, and they know my voice from the voice of men. You will be greatly enriched in the coming weeks, and together we will rise above personal obstacles to holiness that have stood in your way all your lives. Many of you who have longed for intimacy with me will be given the tools to go far beyond what you hoped for. I am preparing a peculiar people from myself, a people that lives in my heart, knows my voice, and loves my sheep, a people who have meticulously routed out a religious spirit from their hearts and minds, and do not stand in the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, who judge as man judges. And with this people I will restore my church of Jerusalem, 33 AD, along with all my Holy Spirit has done in the past 2,000 years. You will be laughed at, scorned, accused of heresy, and put out of the mainstream churches, which so strictly adhere to the teachings and traditions of men. But you will resemble the little ones who truly believed in me, in spite of being ostracized by the religious officials of my day. You will be like the little ones who accompanied me on my ministry trips. You will be like the men and women who went out into the desert to live a pure and undefiled life. And you will be happy, supremely happy, with a knowledge of your salvation, living for me, through me, and in me, alone, as you tend to the wounded, the alienated, and the lost of this world. My sheep hear my voice. Stay with me. I have much to teach you.